For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Prompt you guys to consider going up.
Good question, Dan.
Lickety-split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety-split.
Lickety-split Weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Got a better chance of getting a pony for Christmas next year.
One of these years, by the way, I'm going to get you a pony for Christmas just so that you can up that probability.
Bears beat report, an enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
I think this is an exciting time for the whole organization.
Sweet. Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Weeder. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Dennis, how are you? Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. How are you?
We'll start with Dan Weeder.
HT, great to see you. How are you?
Doing great. Great to see you. How are you?
Good. First question for you. We haven't talked to you since the middle of week 18. Can you take us through the season-ending kick from your vantage point and what that moment was like to put the stamp on a season?
Dan, you know what? Thank you for that question. My focus is really on the excitement of being here, working with Ben.
We're next to Dan Weeder from the Chicago Tribune. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan Weederer.
His name is Dan Weederer.
It really is.
Weederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod. Dan Weederer talks football with you. Huh.
We enjoy Dan Weederer so much that we had the opportunity to see him and Mark Grody do the Take the North podcast live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio last week. What a great turnout they had. It was really awesome to see so many people that love that podcast and Groats and Dan's coverage to come see them. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What was that experience like for you, sir?
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks for popping in last week, Lawrence. It was a good little milestone for the Take the North podcast, which we've been doing a good job of growing over the last few years, and it's good to have the support. So I was happy to see your face there in the back of the room.
Damn it, I didn't drop in, so I don't get the thank you, and I don't deserve it. It's a tough moment for me. I'll survive.
There'll be more opportunity speaks.
There we go, Dan. There we go.
Tease.
I like that. Give you the opportunity for the tease. And love that you're in that open from Tanny. You get the first question treatment and respect. That's nice that's happened a few times on the beat.
Yeah, let's keep that going.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Dan, read in the Tribune where you guys were asked to give a summary of Ryan Poles' tenure so far. And I'll tell people what your one-word review was, and then you can please expound. Subpar.
Yeah, that's draft-related, and that's just the performance in the draft over the last 3 years. And I think that you just need to try to start to add more difference makers. Look, we heard from Bill Polian 3-plus years ago when they were undergoing the last major reboot about the need for 10 to 12 blue-chip players on your roster to become a legitimate annual contender. And they just haven't added enough of those through the draft yet. There's a handful of guys that have the potential to develop into that. But guys, we walk into this weekend with the Bears having this huge opportunity to use those four picks in the top 75 and add real difference-making impact guys to their roster. And so it's the opportunity here for Ryan Poles to change the narrative a little bit and change the trajectory of the franchise by being a little bit more successful in the draft.
Yeah, it's a very interesting spot that the Bears are in. And we've been discussing how, because you don't need a quarterback, it offers you the opportunity to do all sorts of things. Does this draft strike you? I know that they talked about it being wild, and I think that people get real dumb and quarterback dumb when we get closer and closer to the draft. Do you expect that we're going to see some stuff that makes everyone scratch their head between the beginning of the draft and when the Bears pick?
Yeah, I think it's just so unpredictable. And what I always say is it only takes one surprise twist to send like the next hour on a different course than anyone expected, right? You get that one pick where everybody that's an analyst on a TV stage goes, whoa, and then all of a sudden every other team is starting to react to a change in direction that they didn't see coming. And so we don't know where that's going to happen. Is Jacksonville the big wild card at number five with a, you know, first-time GM, first-time coach kind of navigating this the first time together? Like, what happens there in that first hour plus of the draft that then changes where the Bears may want to go? I think if the more exercises you do with the 10th pick, you realize that somebody really good is going to be there for you at number 10. And so I think patience is probably the practical approach. But with that said, if there is a guy that you are absolutely in love with and he's fallen and he's still there at 7 or 8, I think you get on the phone and you consider making some calls, figuring out what it would cost to go get a guy that could become one of those immediate blue chip guys for your roster.
Do you have a gut as to who that guy or guys might be for Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson?
I mean, the two that jump out to me are Mason Graham and Ashton Jeanty. And then the third name that I'll throw in there, because we haven't talked about him enough, just with the assumption that he's going to be long gone by the time the Bears are on the clock, is Jalen Walker. Look, like if he's still there, there's this presumption is that the floor for him is 8 to Carolina. Well, if Carolina's willing to deal out of there and add some picks to bolster their roster, maybe you make that call if Jalen Walker is still there at 8 and you consider what that would look like.
So that's an edge and a running back and a defensive lineman.
Correct.
Which speaks to the excitement of the moment, doesn't it? And the opportunity that is there. Is there a left tackle? It's interesting. What if Will Campbell drops because people get arm length terrified?
Yeah, that'd be a consideration there, depending on how your in-house evaluations have gone.
The question, Dan. I'll interrupt because that's the question. How do they feel about Kieran Amagaji? Do you have any inkling as to how they actually feel about that guy as a left tackle possibility?
Listen, if you're doing this job correctly, you are not taking blind leaps of faith. And they can talk to us all they want about how there was flashes of promise in the Washington game last October from Kieran Amagaji. But at this point, he's a complete unknown commodity. Like, you drafted him a year ago, understanding that he was going to have to come back from an injury. He was going to be a bit of a developmental project. And so you can't walk into this draft feeling like Kieran Amagaji affects it at all, right? Like, you're looking to add known quantity, difference-making players who can start for you for the next decade. And so that tackle position has to be something that's on their radar. I think like Kelvin Banks Jr. is a guy that like that wouldn't be a sexy pick and the city wouldn't be planning a parade on Friday morning, but it'd be really safe. And you'd have a guy that could lock down that position and you'd walk in to training camp with a feeling like, man, 1 through 5, Caleb knows who his offensive line is going to be for the next 2 years. And that has to be a really secure feeling for a quarterback and an offensive play caller. And so look, like, they, even in these first few minutes that we've been talking, you understand the number of intriguing options that are there for them. And then they're just going to have to wait to see how the draft unfolds and be ready to react as it does.
What were the Bears impressed with enough to extend TJ Edwards?
Instincts, just the high-level feel he has. I had a short conversation with Dennis Allen about that last week because it says something with both Gordon and Edwards that they were able to offer these extensions with the backing of a coaching staff that hasn't seen these guys practice yet, right? And so these guys, as coaches, can see what's on the film and then cross-reference the character stuff for the front office that's been here for a few years and say, yeah, like, this is a guy that can be a building block player in our defense. And so with TJ, they seem really, really interested in moving him back to middle linebacker where he's had some experience in Philly and letting him operate there and roam and navigate and do the things that he can do with his ability to see and diagnose and react with instincts.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I enjoyed watching him grow and develop, and I was wondering, like, when the two linebackers were brought in, I was kind of expecting the other one to be the star, and this one to be just kind of serviceable. I'm glad I was wrong, I guess. I wonder how they feel about that, though.
Like that, and what you say there, that's how they were paid, right? Like Tremaine was supposed to be the big splash impact player, and now he's going to probably have to experiment a little bit at a different position going forward in this defense. And that's what happens with regime changes, and sometimes you make some missteps in free agency that you have to make huge corrections to, and sometimes you can make a small turn of the wrench and get it fixed in that regard. But they all gush about TJ. And so, this next year, now that he's been rewarded again, will be about taking a step forward in the impact plays. You know, like it's all good to be steady and reliable and all those other things, but to get this team on a trajectory where it can be a contender, impact has to be a word that we talk about a lot, and that's going to apply to TJ as well as a lot of those other guys on D.
My theory that I want you to poke holes in, if it deserves it, is that left tackle is going to be a Ryan Poles win, at least in terms of this offseason's decision-making. Like, his guy Braxton Jones and his guy Kieran Amagaji will be given a chance to vie for this job, whereas Ben Johnson gets so many other wins in roster decisions. Your thoughts?
Meaning that they won't bring in competition?
Yeah, right. That they're going to let those two guys battle it out.
I'd be surprised if they don't make an effort here in the next week to try to find somebody that can come in and, you know, be a competitor at a minimum. You heard a question I asked Ian Cunningham today about the idea of Darnell Wright being flexible enough to go over to the left side if they identify a right tackle that they really love in the draft. And he left that door open. That was one of the things that attracted them to Darnell Wright when they drafted him a couple of years ago, was that he had played on both sides in college and can do that. And so, I don't think that that's a win that Ryan necessarily wants to claim, that, you know, he's got a third rounder and a fifth rounder that can battle that job out. I think they want to try to find players that can start and put them in a position to contend in a really tough division. And I think Ben's voice will be loud in trying to make some of those upgrades.
All right. So if they take Armand Membu, who appears to be a right tackle, you think Darnell is the one that would move to left in that situation?
I do. Yes. I think that would be the what you would do if that appealed to you. And so they're going to have to decide that. And, you know, hopefully in the, you know, couple weeks after the draft, the month after the draft, we start to get a little bit more of that insight into how they viewed prospects going into this draft, because it's hard to say what they think of certain guys. And if Membu's athleticism, you know, strikes them as, man, we can't pass on him if he's there, well, then you've got to consider a position change for Darnell Wright. And they obviously have some level of comfort in considering that.
If we go back to last year's draft and we go through the receivers again, And think about Rome Odunze as a fit for the Ben Johnson system. Like, I kind of feel like most systems he would probably be a good fit for, just from looking at his production and player personality that we've seen both at Washington here. Is that fair to assume, even not having seen it, that he would be a good fit for what Ben Johnson wants to do?
Well, you heard what Antoine Randall-El thought last week, and he had Rome as his number one receiver above Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., and Antoine Randall-El knows what Ben Johnson's offense was all about. So that gives you a little bit of a glimpse into what they think that they can get out of Rome here in year two. Ryan Poles was pretty emphatic today with Rome winning the Piccolo Award and saying that he expects a pretty big jump in the second year here. And so they're going to try to unlock that. And he's obviously got all the talent, all the character, everything that you want to try to get that jump started. And then it'll be up to the quarterback and the play caller to help that development occur as rapidly as they want it to.
What's the best sign for the Bears, depending on how the top five falls on Thursday night? What will you be watching going, ooh, man, that just turned out well for the Bears?
I mean, it's not going to happen, but Shedeur Sanders being picked before 9 is one that would obviously certainly bump some talent down to them. And then, I think you just have to be nimble to see what happens in that that slot from like 5 to 9. Again, I think Jacksonville's a real wild card here. And then you're just going to have to decide. Again, I just think patience is there for you. If you want to just sit at 10 and wait to see what comes to you, you're not going to be disappointed. And so it's going to be fun, you know, and the Genty conversation is one that, you know, I signed up for day one when it started back in January to talk about the consideration of that. If he gets down near you, that's fun. Like, that's an exciting possibility to have that conversation, that debate. And then if he did wind up here to figure out what that looked like in this offense.
Dan, what did you think of Dennis Allen talking about Kyler Gordon maybe learning a couple of different positions so that he's on the field more?
I'm curious. You know, I want to see what that looks like. I want to kind of get a better feel for what that vision and that experiment is going to be, because they clearly think that he's got potential that hasn't been fully unlocked yet. We know what we think of Kyler's instincts and his ability to kind of see the game through a lens that makes him pretty dangerous and pretty dynamic. It's cool, I think, that Dennis Allen wants to dip into that creativity as well and try to figure out, okay, how can we maximize this and how can we have him involved as more than just a slot corner? And so we're going to have to just kind of keep our eyes on that, particularly when we get into training camp and they start to do that on the field and you get a little bit better feel for what they think.
70% of the snaps, not enough for a player that good, you know, like
having paying them to play more than that now too. Right?
That's right. It's like Dan Reeder, like just on Take the North. That's not enough for us to use him at the score. It's why we had to put you on today. That's how it works around these parts. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm happy I was able to come on.
We are too, and continued success with the Take the North podcast and everything that you're doing over at the Tribune. It was great to see you interact with people there, because I'm sure a lot of them like, oh, I've heard Dan Weeder or I've read him, but for them to be in the room with you, I thought was a cool thing.
I'm a much more cuddly person when I'm in person than when I'm interacting with people on social media. We've all learned that over the years. And so it's better for me to just let that side of it out and let them see that I'm not as big of a pompous windbag as I've been accused of being on social media.
It's a shame Danny never learned that. Thanks, Dan.
It is a
Enjoy
shame.
Draft week, fellas.
That is you. Dan Weederer from the Take the North podcast. You hear him do shows here. You can also read him in the Tribune. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Nico Horner. He's going to join us around 4:10. In the next segment, Speedy, I just want to throw something at you as maybe a way to go about things in the public square of sports media. I saw something this week that I was like, I think that was handled really well, and I wanted to point that out. We'll talk about it next here on The Score.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.